night. Father, we especially pray that you would grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we know you even better than what we knew before. Lord, show us what is on your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, another conference. It is 4 months ago now we had the last conference. And again, we have come together here for a time where we would like to touch the Lord in a real way. The last conference, in the last sharing we had, the last message, the topic was, if you remember, it was bride and bridegroom. And tonight, we will start with bride and bridegroom, right? And have you looked at the last message in the outline? It will stop, it will finish with the Spirit and the Bride speak, come. Amen, Lord Jesus. That is really what is in the heart of the Lord. That is His bride and His wedding feast. For tonight, the headline says, Christ longs for a suitable bride or a bride corresponding to Him, matching Him. Oh Lord. Yes. We are in the year 2019. After the Lord resurrected, a lot of things happened and a long time passed by. And we expect Him to come back, right? Many of us, among us, going with the Lord many years, getting older year by year, wait for Him to come back. And I do hope that many young saints among us do not say, oh Lord, I still have to experience this and that, do this and that. Please rather stay away for a longer while. This should not be our attitude. In His heart, He is the bridegroom. He wants to get married. And He's longing for His bride to be prepared. And I would like to go through this with this verse we wrote down here. Consider this. Look a little bit into the past. We go back a long, long time when God created man. That is in Genesis 2 from verse 18. Right? At that time, God had created Adam already. Yeah? From dust of the earth, right? He had created him. And He breathed into his nose the spirit of life. And so he became a living creature. Right? Then he gave him a garden. This garden you are to preserve. And he told him how to deal with these two important trees in its midst. But there was a big but. Adam still was alone, simply alone. Of course, God was there, but apart from God, no one else. Then it says, chapter 2, verse 18, and God, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper, comparable to him. Already here, I
hesitate a little bit, because this is a wonderful sentence. This is a strong burden on me, that during this conference, the word we read and we touch, they should touch our hearts. God gave us His Word, not just for mere reading it and seek things and interpret and how certain things happened and what might come. No, but to a large extent, He gave this Word for us to touch it, to be our food in order to change us. It's precious that by His Word we can take a look into His heart. How can you know God if you do not know His Word? Well, not possible. And here He says, it is not good that man be alone. I will make him a helper, comparable to him. There is a verse, Romans 5:14. This verse proves that Adam is a picture of the one who ought to come, a picture of Christ. Paul discovered this and found out this and wrote it down. Adam is a picture of Christ. And the wife God is building here is a wonderful picture of the bride of Christ. That is the church. And we look here how this happened. Right? God wants to have a wife for Adam matching him. Do you know, at a wedding feast, or when a man seeking for a woman, it is necessary that this couple matches each other. If you want to have a functioning marriage life, harmonious marriage life, look for someone who would really match you. As good as the Bible shows it here, we cannot possibly make it. But try as good as possible, the best way. God would like to give Adam a wife called helper here. And he starts. How does he do it? From God, out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field, verse 19. And He brought them to Adam, or the man, to see what He would call them. And whatever Adam, or the man, called each living creature, that was its name. Okay. So, one by one, God made these animals, brought them to Adam. But remember, God spoke of a helper. And now God brings animals of the earth. A sheep. Oh, and Adam says, look, a sheep. So he gives name to many, many animals. Every beast of the field. But he said, for Adam, no helper was found. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Verse 20. Consider Adam. He names one by one, beast by beast. And God brings another one. Why does He bring birds to Adam? Is Adam able to fly? No. God is bringing him, animal by animal. But there is no match. No animal comparable to him. So I think Adam must have been quite sad after a certain time. He must have been sad. What's wrong? Where is my helper? My match? Well, praise the Lord, God has a solution. After a while, He stops and allows Adam to fall into deep sleep. So God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place.
Baute. Hier steht wirklich baute.
And then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made or built into a woman. Literally, built, really. And he brought her to the man and said, brought her to the man, to Adam. That was something wonderful. Until now, he took ground from the earth and produced an animal. Now, he took something out of Adam and formed and built something of it. That was his match, his counterpart. What was the reaction of Adam? That's wonderful. He brought her to the man. And then Adam said, verse 23, this finally is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Right? Wonderful. That was wonderful for Adam. He was glad. He was happy. Finally, I found her. A counterpart matching me. I can talk to as I like it. Counterpart, I could give all my love and vice versa. Oh Lord Jesus. And that is a wonderful picture of Christ and the church. This deep sleep Adam fell into was a picture of the death of Christ. And out of this sleep, out of the death of Christ, so to say, in resurrection, the Lord came forth as a spirit that gives life. Not long after his resurrection, not so many days after, the church came into being in Jerusalem. What a picture! The church is fully, completely something coming out of Christ. Otherwise, it cannot be the church. You can give it any name otherwise. You can give Christian groups names, no problem. Through a name, a Christian group will not become what it ought to be. But through His Spirit, the church comes forth. And that's what we should see these days, in these messages, what the Lord wants. That's the title for the whole conference. Can only be done by His Spirit. If we learn this, this will be a big help to the Lord. We are inclined to do things by our own strength. Like Zechariah 4:6, right? That's exactly our portion, what we do. It should not be carried out by might or power. We are always looking to seek for power and make things. If you are the maker, the Lord cannot make much anymore. But if you are terminated, you are finished, and His Spirit is able to work, then comes forth what pleases Him. That was the past. But we really have to keep it in our mind. A lot is in this. A counterpart, a helper matching him. Right? Now let's take a look into the future. That is Revelation 19. From verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice
and give Him glory for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. His wife has made herself ready. That shows our activity. His wife prepared, made ready herself. So it is important for us to be active. Not with might or power. It's not a contradiction. The next verse shows to her, Revelation 19:8, to her it was granted to be arrayed. It was given to her, literally. Be given a lot during this conference. Be open. Let the Lord give you much. Let us have an attitude to the Lord. Lord, give us much of you during this conference. Much of your spirit. Much of your nature. Lord, fill us much more with you. That is always a good prayer, not only during conferences, right? You can pray this every single day. Lord, fill me with you. Pray it in the morning, a good starting prayer. Lord, fill me with you on this day. And it was given her to be arrayed, to be clothed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. We have acts to do, righteous acts, right? But let them be done through the Lord within us, through the Spirit in us. And then he said to me, write, blessed, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper, or invited, who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed, I tell you honestly, at that point in time, I want to be blessed at that time. This is absolutely in my heart. I want to be invited to this marriage feast of the Lamb. Marriage supper, that's my desire. And I hope it's also in your hearts. Right, this desire. Why? Because it is not just every Christian invited to this marriage supper. Some teach every Christian will be part of the bride. Well, better read the word. It doesn't say that. Matthew 25, for example, you can clearly see there are prudent virgins and foolish ones. And some of the prudent one are in time at the marriage supper, and the others are not. Therefore, much depends on how you deal with the Lord, how you walk with the Lord, how your daily living looks like with the Lord. And this conference is meant to encourage you through every single meeting to strengthen your walk with the Lord. We do have wonderful messages, all going in this one direction. Lord, strengthen our spirit. Strengthen our walk in the Spirit. Grant that we be prepared to become this bride. That was the future. Now, it's important. That's what we have to focus on and to work for, and we have to be prudent persons. It is in our own hands whether we take part in this marriage supper. The Lord wants all of us, of course, and even many more. Right? But He can only take us if we cooperate with Him. And that's my third point, capital C on the outline. We have to cooperate. I experienced much in this direction already, to be honest. You can work together, cooperate with Him in various ways. Sometimes you do it just without Him. If you understand what I mean.
Ich komme noch näher drauf. Aber
I will come later to that. I ask myself, why in the Old Testament there is such a wonderful book with eight chapters as this, the Song of Songs? Have you ever asked yourself? I asked this myself a number of times. Lord, this book doesn't really fit into the Old Testament, does it? In the Old Testament, so many laws, so many prophets speaking to a stubborn nation, people of Israel, and they always exhort these people like Jeremiah. Isaiah wasn't much better either. And all the small prophets, they all spoke a lot about judgment. And then you have such a book, the Song of Songs. Well, the same author as Ecclesiastes, right? You cannot apprehend. Take these books, put them together. Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs. Let's rather read Song of Songs. The Song of Songs, as the name says, is the highest song that exists. It's the song of all songs. You have 150 songs in the Psalms, but even these 150 Psalms, for my taste, my personal taste, my opinion, do not reach up to the Song of Songs. You should think of that. When did you read it last? I only printed out chapter 4 of that Song of Songs. Glorious. Behold, you are beautiful, my beloved. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes shine as doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep. What is that for a speech? Tell me, what is song? Just three verses now, from chapter 4. Every one of these teeth bears twins. None is barren among them. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind you, so forth. I don't read everything now. Just do it yourself. How is someone able to write this, such a relationship between bride and bridegroom, between Solomon and Shulamite? Here, Adam and his wife. Solomon and Shulamite. It's the same kind of name, just female and male. This is not accident. This is not by chance. Why is this written in the Old Testament? I think it is because the Lord wants to show us something specifically, not only in the New Testament. He wanted to show us how we in the New Testament could or should deal with our bridegroom and how he will deal with us. That is, in the way of love, in love. The Lord loved us. Imagine this. So we have our problems with love as well. But if you love someone or you like him, you love him. But if you don't like someone, you have a problem. But the Lord loved us when we still were enemies, Romans says. Enemies. And he already loved us. What a heart, says. Chose the Lord, and his love is so perfect, so pure, so pleasant. So, this is what the Song of Songs describes. The Lord loves this Shulamite. Although she, in the beginning, was not transformed at all. In the beginning, she doesn't match him at all. right? Beginning, he says, I compare you to a horse of the chariots of Pharaoh. This is a picture that speaks of Pharaoh, who's not so good. He is even a picture of the enemy, right? Our original condition when we came to the Lord was very wild, like a wild horse, and Pharaoh in your back. But the Lord still already loved her, and she already loved him. The Song of Songs starts, kiss me, let him kiss me. That's wonderful. This is the way we be transformed. According to my experience, this is almost, I would say, the only way. His love to us and our love to him. That is the way of transformation. Otherwise, you only receive all the commandments of Paul. Read Galatians, Philippians. Don't do this, don't lie to each other, don't do that, and the other is not. Have you read? The epistles are full of commandments. Right? And if you get them wrongly, you sooner or later will stop keeping them. You walk away, or you will become legal, completely legal. Whatever. This is not the way to take the commandments. The way is the way of love. Through love. I would like to point this out to you. If you go on with the Lord, if you want to go on with the Lord, it must be a matter of love. The Lord always tried to gain again our hearts, gain back our hearts. Even if you are distracted, the way is not, hey, why did you not come to the meetings the last 3 weeks? No. Then I will not come at all anymore if you rebuke me like this. No, the Lord will say, I rejoice, you're back here again. Hallelujah, you're here again. I drew you, you didn't realize. Right? Yes, the Lord's attitude is completely different from ours. When we deal with each other, the Lord is so lovely, so pleasant. He draws you. Always. And in chapter 4 of Song of Songs, verse 7, I wondered, Lord says, you are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. Wow. That's chapter 4 already. There are 4 more chapters. It's 8 altogether. So the Lord has a different view from than we have. If we look too much to our spots, we all have spots, right? Or is anyone here without spot? Blameless? What do you say? I don't think so. Well, you can be focusing on your spots. You see the spot on him, you see the spot on yourself, and you talk about it, and you always fool around with this. It pulls you down. It only pulls you down. That's my experience. Doesn't it? If you discover something on you, then go to the Lord. Say, Lord, there's always still something not matching you. Lord, I discovered this long ago, but it's still there. Lord, cleanse me. Work on me. Take this away from me. And on this brother, something disturbs me as well. Take away this as well. Don't tell it to the brother, tell it to the Lord. That's the best way. Truly so. You will have a lot of peace in the churches then. If you deal with minor things, it makes the church life tasteless. But if we see there is no blame or spot on you, this will revolutionize everything. I thought, Lord, how could you only write this? No spot on you. It says, how beautiful is your love. How fair is your love. Your love is more precious than wine. How fair is your love. How much better than wine is your love.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, Lord. This book I fully entrust to you. For what I want to speak now is Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. We see how Paul discovered that Adam and Eve are a picture of Christ and the church. Chapter 5:23, it says, for the husband is head of the wife, also as Christ is head of the church. He is the redeemer of the body, literally, savior or redeemer. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Christ gave himself for the church that he might sanctify her, cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Do you know? Through the fall of man, through the fall of Adam, man became corrupted. Adam's nature, Eve's nature, changed. They became sinners, having sinned, receiving the nature of the enemy Satan. And through this fall, all men came under this fall, under sin. We all are sinners, without exception. You cannot say, I am better than the other one. No one can say this. And still, God wants out of such men make a bride matching him. Imagine this. Out of such people, he wants to make a bride matching him. He is God. And in Matthew 5, I think it's chapter 5, verse 48, well, Jesus says to the disciples, that's why you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. What a change! From an opponent to God, a sinner of God, having the nature of Satan, becoming a man being perfect as the Father in heaven. What a work! What a work! That is the transformation work of God on us. That's why it says he has to sanctify us. Many things on us is just not is holy as unholy. Sometimes I discover things, oh, how unholy on me. But the only way is, Lord, sanctify me, cleanse me. And not only just like this, but by cleansing them through the washing of the water in the Word. That is really important, that we see the Word so precious, so important. Yeah. The Word is the way. How his substance, his nature is being wrought into us. Recently, in Ireland, we had a meeting, several messages on John chapter 6. Well, the Lord said, you should eat him. Well, this was a strong word anyway to the Pharisees. The Pharisees exactly knew how many verses in Moses said, you should not drink blood. You should not eat flesh with blood in it. And then Jesus said,
Drink mein Blut.
Drink my blood. That's a true drink.
Wow, und eat mein Fleisch. Wow.
And eat my flesh.
Also stärker kannst du
auf die Palme bringen. It's not possible to provoke a Pharisee more than through that. It's too much. They all ran away. I completely understand. From their childhood, they learn the law. They study the law, and it says, by no means do. But then Jesus said, drink my blood, otherwise you don't have life. He waited, many ran away. Many ran away, but then he gave the solution. You don't have to drink my blood, but in a different way from what you think. John chapter 6, verse 36. It is the Spirit, he says. It's the Spirit. In the Spirit is my blood. In the Spirit is my flesh. In the Word is my nature. The words that I speak or spoke to you, it's the same word as the word in the washing of the water of the word. Everybody who knows Greek knows it's rhema, not logos. It's a different Greek word for word, translated word. The words I spoke to you are spirit and are life. And let me close the sentence from before. We shared in Arlen, when we come to this word, there are saints who make morning watch, read the Bible every morning, hallelujah, it is important, praise the Lord. This is good to do it. Lord Jesus, come to the Lord. And in the morning, fill yourself with the Word of God. And here is a way to be focusing on finding a Word, touching you. Not just chronologically, as a slave, verse by verse, I have made my morning watch. No, no, that's the wrong way of thinking. No, I want to touch Him in His Word. Maybe I have to take 20 verses. Recently I had this experience. It was more than 20. And I thought, Lord, when does the verse come? I read and read and read and nothing touched me. But then it came, Amen. Then came the verse that touched me. Amen. A word came and hit me strongly. That's what the Lord means. If we come to His Word, it is about touching Him. Don't touch that letter. Not the letter alone. Nothing will happen. Not much. Little. But if you touch Him, His Spirit, this will be wonderful. That's what the Lord wants. That's how He cleanses us, right? Through the washing of the water in the Word. Then at the very end is still the verses from Matthew 25, where the Lord gives this parable of these virgins, right? Five were foolish and five were prudent. Wise, it says here, New King James. The difference between both of them, both groups, is some, the wise one are filled more than the other. The wise, they have more oil in their vessels. The other ones, the foolish ones, only have oil in the lamps. And many times you read the verse, a lamp of the Lord is man's human spirit. Proverbs 20:27, right? And if you only have the Lord in your spirit, this is too little. You need the Lord in your whole soul. Right? He wants to be wrought into your whole being. That's what takes time. It takes time. A whole Christian life is meant to daily receive the Lord here in our spirit, the Spirit, compared to the anointing, to the ointment here in Luke 4. We want to receive this Spirit into us every day. every day, through any situation. There are good situations and good days and bad days. Every day should be for us receiving the Lord our whole life long.
Yes.
And the whole conference is meant should help us to know the Spirit, how you can know Him better and take Him into your walk day by day. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's have fellowship.